Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Northeastern's men's hockey team lost its fourth Beanpot Championship in 5 years on Monday night when Boston University's captain Matt Grizzlick fired home the winner just 51 seconds into overtime.
Two players aside, seal it to the boards. Puck squirts loose. Rodriguez to Grizzlick. Score! Matt Grizzlick rips it home and the BU Terriers grab their 30th Beanpot Championship.
And here to talk about the Beanpot and more is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, who joins us most Wednesdays to talk sports. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Lisa.
Okay, as we heard in that clip, this was BU's 30th Beanpot win, also their first since 2009. That is nothing, though, compared to Northeastern's Beanpot history. Tell us about that.
It's a very short story. They haven't won the Beanpot since 1988, something like that. They've won four total, as opposed to BU that's won 30. After BU comes BC, and then very far down the short list of four comes Northeastern.
Although Northeastern this coming weekend is going to have a chance to strike back at BU as the two teams play their final two games of the season. These are non-Beanpot games against each other Friday and Saturday. A hot ticket or not?
These are regular season games, of course. Well, irony would demand that Northeastern win both of those games 10-0. But it's not likely to happen. BU is at the top of Hockey East right now. Northeastern is halfway down the list and sixth. You'd have to say BU would be favored, and I hope Northeastern isn't discouraged because they've certainly had enough bad experience over the years in the Beanpot to be discouraged if they're so inclined.
Before we move on, a little bit of hockey news that I'm going to ask you to talk about, Bill. A group of entomologists have named a newly discovered wasp species from East Africa, I believe, after the Boston Bruins goalie. Mm. Can you tell us, unravel this story for us, please?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I could take a shot at it. I suppose that it's supposed to be an honor to have a newly discovered insect named after you. And what they've said is that this particular insect is tenacious and has raptorial four tarsus, whatever that means, and it reminds them somehow of Rask, his tenaciousness as a goalie. Exactly.
Yes.
And now he can rest, I suppose, knowing that long after his hockey career is over, there will be wandering around Africa an insect named after him until we manage through global warming to kill that insect along with all the other things that we've killed.
And then you, on the other hand, Bill, will never rest because you've yet to have an insect named.
No, but I suppose it's still possible. You know, I think I would prefer a star in a far-off cosmos.
You could do that.
Wouldn't that be better?
You could basically buy the right to have a star named after
you've caught the problem there with the verb buying.
Oh, yes, indeed. But I have to say, they got the colors right. I mean, the Bruins are black and yellow, right? And I'm unashamed to admit that the first time I heard Tuukka Rask's name, I did not actually know they were talking about a hockey player.
Well,
let alone a human
hockey
being.
Player, so, you know, it's not
and
a
great one at
here.
That. Right. So, well done, Mr. Rask. You got a wasp named after you. Let's move on to soccer now, okay? Because let's talk about the New England Revolution. They are the region's MLS team. They made it to their fifth MLS Cup last year when they had their own extra time loss against the LA Galaxy. Darn. The Revs have never won an MLS Cup, but with their season set to start in Seattle on March 8th, things are looking pretty good this season.
Yeah, I think things always look good when you've won a conference championship and played in the MLS Cup game. And they're fun to watch, and their attendance is on the rise. And by golly, Mr. Kraft is finally making noises again about building an actual soccer stadium. So this is all good for fans of New England soccer.
Yeah, well, but maybe what's not so good is that the season's supposed to start soon, but I understand that the league and the players are still hashing out a new collective bargaining agreement?
Yeah. Do you want the optimistic take on this, though?
Yes,
okay,
I do.
The optimistic take on this is that MLS has grown into something like adulthood, because you can't really consider a professional sports league an adult until there is serious tension between management and labor. And in this case, what does labor want? Well, labor wants a minimum salary somewhere above $38,000, which seems reasonable to me. And labor also wants at least the possibility of at some point the opportunity to become free agents, which also seems absolutely fine to me because athletes in other sports certainly have it. Soccer is a growing concern, and it's not a professional opportunity with a lot of history here. And now we're getting into the point where the players are looking around and they're saying, hey, you know, we're generating packed houses some places. Here's a new bit of news that just came up. MLS games are going to be televised in the UK for the first time this year. I was reading some silly little tweets the other day, and here's a fan in Scotland who's over the moon about this. He's a big MLS fan in Scotland that he can't wait to be seeing MLS games on TV at home. So, you know, this league is making progress, and this is growing pains. Yeah. And I hope that both sides will realize that the players should be paid more and that they should have the opportunity to become free agents.
Bill, before I let you go, there's one sort of more serious sports story I want your take on, because this weekend NASCAR suspended one of its most popular drivers, Kurt Busch. They suspended him indefinitely after a court ruled that Busch strangled his ex-girlfriend and smashed her head against the wall. Essentially, they suspended him for domestic violence charges, which is kind of a more forceful way of dealing with this issue than we saw, say, the NFL dealing with similar issues.
Well, the NFL came very late to raised consciousness on this, and I think with the NFL, it was painfully obvious that the process involved public relations. There was such an outcry regarding the Ray Rice case, the way the Ray Rice case was handled, or I should say mishandled, that the commissioner really had no alternative but to reverse himself and say, yeah, we got it wrong. I guess I better figure out what's really going on
here.
So
did NASCAR learn from the NFL's mistakes?
You can never tell with something like this. You can't get inside the heads of the people making the decisions. So is it public relations or is it raised consciousness and an actual recognition of a terrible problem, domestic violence, and, hey, we've got to do something about this so that we not only discipline the people who are committing the crimes, but we also say something about a societal attitude that needs to change.
Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, which you can hear right here on WBUR Saturdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Thanks as always, Bill.
Thank you, Meghna.